Good afternoon, 4:30 and 82 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Davidson.
The amount of moving water to sweep a person off of their feet is simply 6 inches. It's a very small amount of rainfall.
Kentucky's Emergency Management Director Michael Dossett is advising motorists to be careful this weekend. Some heavy rains are expected.
A Proctorville man is headed for prison following his rape conviction.
And the Rowan County Middle School wins an award.
In sports, 3 UK players are among the top selections in the NBA draft.
Bud Luke has the business news.
Showers and thunderstorms tonight, lows around 64. We'll have a complete check of your weather after this news.
A meteorologist at the National Weather Service in Jackson is advising eastern Kentucky residents to keep an eye on the weather tonight as the remnants of Tropical Storm Cindy move inland. Dustin Jordan says heavy rainfall could make some roads dangerous.
Heavier rainfall may be more localized, but you're looking at 2 inches of rain or more, especially up in your neck of the woods there. So, it's certainly something to watch today.
The National Weather Service has issued a flood watch and a severe thunderstorm warning through tomorrow morning. Jordan says the skies should clear up by the end of the weekend.
Kentucky's Office of Emergency Management is preparing for the worst this weekend. Here's Suzanne Duvall.
Emergency management leaders are preparing for their statewide response to the storm, raising their level of response to a level 4. Michael Dossett is director of Kentucky Emergency Management.
We're going to have our personnel here tracking road closures, tracking flooded areas, tracking any requests from the counties that may be in an impact zone.
He tells WKYT they'll remain at level 4 through noon Saturday. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
A Proctorville man has been sentenced to 6 years in prison following his conviction on charges of felony rape and having unlawful sexual contact with a minor. According to the Ironton Tribune, 21-year-old Corey Powell had pleaded guilty to those charges last month in Lawrence County Common Pleas Court. Prosecutors allege Powell had repeated inappropriate sexual contact with a 14-year-old girl.
Amid financial turmoil highlighted in a recent external audit, the University of Louisville Foundation has fired a former president's chief of staff. News outlets report that Kathleen Smith was terminated Thursday. The move came 40 days before her employment contract expired. Smith was placed on paid administrative leave at the foundation in September. That was in response to a demand from trustees seeking reform after an outside audit detailed high spending and little oversight. Smith's attorney says that the firing is a breach of contract and that Smith is being used as a fall girl for the foundation.
The Rowan County Fiscal Court is mulling over a physician's request to open a methadone clinic in the area. Dr. Stephen Lamb of East Kentucky Professional Associates has asked for permission to open the clinic in the Old Hex Shopping Center in Moorhead, near I-64. Methadone is used to help addicts, especially those hooked on heroin, wean themselves off narcotics. Blevin says while Rowan's magistrates have agreed to consider the matter, Sheriff Matt Sparks and others have expressed concerns about the possible dangers of having a local methadone clinic.
Well, I think the major fears was that you would attract not only Rowan County people, but you'd attract a lot of people from not only just in Kentucky, but maybe from Ohio, West Virginia, other places would come here to take advantage of this. I guess the main concern is that you invite that kind of people into your community or they're in your community, there's a chance for more crime, more burglaries, that type of thing.
Blevins notes that Rowan County already has a Suboxone clinic to help drug addicts kick their habits. The judge executive says both the fiscal court and the Moorhead City Council would have to approve Lamb's request to open a methadone clinic since it would be located inside the city limits.
The Kentucky Education and Workforce Development Cabinet has released county unemployment statistics for the month of May. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
Taking a look at highlight statistics for the MSPR listening area, Rowan County rounded out the bottom with a 4.9% unemployment rate. Bracken County follows with a rate of 5.1%, Nicholas County at 5.3%, Fleming County at 5.4%, Estill and Robertson counties at 5.5%, and Montgomery at 5.7%. On the other end of the spectrum, Magoffin County held the highest unemployment rate in the state at 16.6%. In eastern Kentucky, Elliott County had the next highest at 9.8%, followed by Carter, Lawrence, Lee, Breathitt, Floyd, Martin, Wolfe, and Johnson counties, all holding rates between 8 and 9%. As a whole, Kentucky's unemployment rate is higher than the national average of 4.1% at 4.7%. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
The city of Ashland will probably not have a new budget until next week. City commissioners last night decided to pull a proposed $49 million spending plan for fiscal 2018 from their agenda and consider it Tuesday. Mayor Steve Gilmore suggested the delay so the panel could have more time to weigh options for granting city employees a pay raise.
We're looking in terms of what I'm hoping to come up with, a combination of being able to give our lower tier employees maybe across the board increase, and those on the upper tier a percentage that we think will be fair and equitable, to try to bring the entry level and those lower paid positions up a little bit.
Gilmore says Ashland's 300 employees haven't had a pay increase for 2 years. Acting City Manager Steve Corbett says the new budget includes a real estate and personal property tax rate that is actually lower than last year's.
Ashland households will soon be receiving a survey in the mail seeking opinions on curbside recycling. City Commissioner Marty Goot says it'll be included in their water bills. Goot says he got the idea from a similar mailing in Huntington.
I'd just like to get a feel for our customers, if they would be willing to pay that added fee. We haven't raised garbage or water this year or the upcoming year. We're not going to raise it, and we haven't raised property taxes, but yet this will be an added-on fee, and I was just wanting to get a feel, just like Huntington. I thought it was a great idea, and I got an email from Ben Pettigo with Rumpke that he thought it was a good idea if we did something like this.
Goot is hoping the curbside recycling questionnaire goes out in the next billing cycle.
Boyd County's Extension Agent for Agriculture thinks the city of Ashland should allow people to raise chickens, other fowl, and perhaps animals like rabbits within the city limits. Currently, all those animals are banned in Ashland. Lindahl Harned says if city commissioners were to give such authority, he doubts if many residents would actually keep those kinds of animals. However, he says, some would, and they'd learn a little more about where food comes from.
From my research, we're actually sort of behind the times, because a lot of other cities across the country have ordinances that spell out and allow it, but they have the limitations. Very few don't have anything. Some of them just out and out ban everything. Others allow anything. But the happy median seems to be somewhere under 10 animals.
Harned says many cities permit fowl and some other types of animals, but place restrictions on how they're kept. He told Ashland commissioners Thursday night he'll work with them to help draft an ordinance if they decide on a more inclusive animal policy.
The president of the Kentucky Senate says any reforms the Commonwealth makes to its tax system should promote new business investment and job opportunities. Republican Robert Stivers of Manchester addressed the likelihood of a special session of the General Assembly during an appearance on WYMT Issues and Answers. Stivers says changes to the tax code can make a big difference.
I was involved in dealing with the bourbon industry, which is an industry that Kentucky is well recognized for. Well, we did some regulatory changes. We dropped some taxes. And because of that, we saw the industry really expand. The industry invested $2 billion in the state that created over 2,000 more jobs.
Governor Bevin has indicated he'll ask lawmakers to return to Frankfort after August 15th. He wants them to discuss tax reform and pensions.
The Kentucky School Boards Association is opposing a plan to offer scholarship tax credits to students who attend a non-public school. But the Catholic Conference of Kentucky thinks it's a great idea. Eric Kennedy and Andrew Vandiver discuss the issue this week on KET's Kentucky Tonight. Kennedy is Director of Governmental Relations for the KSBA, and Vandiver is Associate Director of the Catholic Conference.
Scholarship tax credits are privately funded programs that allow scholarship granting organizations to assist families who have a financial need to attend a non-public school. And these programs are great. They have been a fiscal win, and more importantly, they've been a win for students in other states.
From the viewpoint of a school board member, I almost say, unfortunately, it takes a great deal of money to educate each and every child, no matter what background they come from, no matter what baggage they bring or what their unique needs are.
And Kennedy says when money that could be used to support public education goes elsewhere, it hurts the public schools. Vandiver says 17 states have scholarship tax credit programs, and academic outcomes have improved in all of them.
Rowan County Middle School has earned a prestigious award. The National Forum to Accelerate Middle Grades Reform has named RCMS as a 2017 School to Watch. District Superintendent Marvin Moore says the forum hands out the honor to high-performing middle schools that demonstrate academic excellence, developmental responsiveness, and social equity. Moore calls earning a School to Watch award is a special achievement.
It certainly is. When you've only got three middle schools in the whole state of Kentucky that's receiving this honor, and to be one of those three, that the middle school staff, teachers, all the people that work at the middle school, the administration, I'm sure, and I know we're very proud of them, we, the board, and we want to give them all the accolades that we can and celebrate their successes because it's well-deserved.
Moore says Rowan Middle Principal Jay Padula and other officials from the school were in Washington, D.C. this week to receive the award.
Fleming County School Superintendent Brian Kriesman is happy with the recent evaluation of his job performance by the local school board. Among the highlights, board members lauded Kriesman for his leadership in several areas, along with his efforts to help the district exit state assistance and increase Fleming's number of college and career-ready graduates.
I have a great board here. All five members really support what we do here in the district, and I was very pleased with the evaluation, and the comments that they provided are so helpful, and they also challenge me to do more each year, and you know, that's what the evaluation process should be like.
Kriesman credits his success to the close relationships that he's worked to build with the Fleming District's faculty and staff since he became superintendent 3 years ago.
Riverboats will be returning to Maysville very soon, MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Ledger Independent, the American Queen and the Queen of the Mississippi will be making a stop in the area in July. Maysville will be a stop on an 8-day Queen of the Mississippi cruise on the Ohio River that will conclude in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The riverboat will visit Maysville on July 1st from noon to 6 p.m. at Limestone Landing. The second riverboat, the American Queen, will be in Maysville and Augusta on July 13th and 14th. Guests will be able to enjoy a trolley tour, which will include stops at the Floodwall Murals and Kentucky Gateway Museum Center. Reporting for Moore's Day Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
And finally this afternoon, a former East Jessamine High School basketball coach has formed a new organization to recruit and train a new generation of women leaders in the Commonwealth. Jacqueline Coleman is the daughter of former State Representative Jack Coleman. She says she'll be seeking students on college campuses across the Bluegrass who want to join Lead Kentucky. Coleman spoke on Spectrum Cable's Pure Politics.
I think in most situations we have lots of very capable women who might need a little nudge or some encouragement, or to know that maybe the feelings that they have about stepping out of their comfort zone are normal. And so as we pull women in, there is a political component. But we really do seek women from all fields and all majors.
Coleman says women represent more than half of Kentucky's population, but there are few of them in the General Assembly and not many running businesses either.
Taking a check of your weather forecast, tonight lows around 63 degrees, chance of rain near 100%. With showers and thunderstorms early, 2 to 3 inches of rain expected with localized flooding possible. Tomorrow, sunny with clouds mixed in, highs around 83. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies, lows around 55 degrees. Sunday, partly sunny with highs around 78. Sunday night, a few clouds with lows near 54. And Monday, generally sunny with highs near 74 degrees. Temperatures for the regions currently 74 in Ashland, 82 in Flemingsburg, 82 in Inez, 82 in Lexington, 81 in Winchester, and it's currently 82 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Morehead State University Professor John Modaff. He ponders the insidious influence of movies and media on how people feel about killing.
My dad, who is 86, was noticing how things have changed with guns. How he and his buddies used to ride through town on their bicycles back in the 40s with their long guns propped across the handlebars, heading down to the river to shoot rats. No one gave them a second look. No one worried about someone with a gun. Fast forward to today. We are all worried about someone with a gun. But when the victims are political opponents, well, some people seem to be fine with that, as when we saw the approvals on social media not long after the carnage at the ballpark in D.C. We have changed. For a long time, researchers have posited that the visualization and participation in fictional killing has desensitized audiences into feeling nothing or next to nothing negative about killing with a gun, thus opening the way for the wanton murder we now see. But that theory has not held up well, and overall the research has not been able to connect desensitization by media as a cause for gun violence. Still, maybe we are, through repeated, well-plotted exposure, becoming sensitized to the idea that there are good reasons to shoot people. In the early days of radio, film, and television, the overwhelming number of gun kills were performed either by unambiguously bad or evil people, or performed by good people stopping the evil people. Beyond accidental killings of the type that plagued Oedipus, old-school drama kept things sorted out for us. But now, in music, in film, in television, killing is casual and composed to be satisfying. Writers portray all sorts of good reasons to kill someone, and in some cases, killers are portrayed as admirable, either for their skill or for their choices of targets. Not necessarily killing incontrovertibly evil persons, but just persons who are in the way, or whose thinking is bent in some way, or for money, but under conditions where past wrongs seem to justify it. That is the point. Modern kills in media are continuously and routinely justified, not by the state or by God, but by conditions, situational ethics. And so, people celebrate when their political opponents are mowed down by a gunman, for the very good reasons that they find their political opponents offensive. I don't think this is a sign of desensitization, but rather a sign of mental training, provided by years of admirable kills in movies, where we sat and watched and said yes when the anti-hero killed the anti-hero. If you have ever felt the satisfaction that a movie kill or a video game kill brings to people, then you are a trainee in this type of thinking. And it is the explanation for why we now have to worry. We have hundreds of millions of guns, and we've all been well trained by our entertainment not to feel nothing, but rather to feel satisfied and justified by a well-plotted murder. Now, what can be done? Don't tune in next week. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. 4:49, All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock. Sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays near the Morehead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. For more information, call 784-5457. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
UK players on the way. Good day to you. This is MSPR Sports. I'm Sean Delaney. The three Kentucky freshmen selected during the first round of last night's NBA draft are looking forward to starting their pro careers. De'Aaron Fox was the highest Wildcat taking, going number 5 to Sacramento. Fox says being the third point guard chosen in the draft won't put a chip on his shoulder.
You know, like I always said, it doesn't matter what order we get picked in. The motivation is already there. You know, we're all going to the NBA. It's motivation every game. So, you know, you're always playing a great point guard. But is it more motivation? Not really. You're just going into playing basketball.
UK shooting guard Malik Monk was the 11th overall pick by Charlotte, and he says he has a lot to offer to the Hornets.
Always trying to win, do the best I can to win, and knock down open shots, any shot I can get, all the clutch shots. I'm going to try to make the best, and I'm just going to learn from the vets and listen to the coach and try to be the best player and best listener and learner ever.
UK's Bam Adebayo went number 14 to Miami. Louisville had one player going in the first round. Donovan Mitchell was taken at number 13 by Golden State. Meanwhile, Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari was in Brooklyn last night to watch his former stars get drafted. In the end, Cal says he was happy for De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, and Bam Adebayo.
I thought both Bam and Malik would go a little bit earlier, but they're both in the lottery. And they're both on good teams, and so it's good. It's a good day. It's a good graduation day.
Since Calipari's arrival in 2010, UK has had 24 players taken in the first round of the NBA draft. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Chicago Bulls have dealt their best player. He'll be joining a couple Kentucky veterans. David Schuster reports.
Jimmy Butler was on the trade block seemingly forever, and forever finally occurred as he was dealt to Minnesota and reunited with his former coach Tom Thibodeau. The deal was Butler and the number 16 overall pick to the Timberwolves for Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and the number 7 pick. Butler now joins a very good young nucleus up in Minnesota that includes Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Butler was a 3-time All-Star for the Bulls who worked his way up from a number 30 pick to a top 15 player in the NBA. David Schuster, Chicago.
The Louisville baseball team saw its season end last night with a second loss in the College World Series. TCU knocked the Cardinals out of the event by beating them 4-3 in Omaha. Two controversial close plays proved to be decisive for the Horned Frogs, and also got U of L coach Dan O'Donnell ejected from the game. Afterwards, associate head coach Roger Williams lauded the Cards' efforts in 2017, especially those of their seniors.
They're great kids. Coach Mack, we do a great job of just developing the whole kid. It's not just about being a great player. Life lessons in our program. And we're so proud of what they've done in the classroom and in every way. And the goal now is to keep it moving forward, obviously, with the new group. But it's been a special group, and you know, hopefully we can keep it moving in the right direction.
Louisville ends the year with a 53-12 record. Prosecutors are asking the highest court in Massachusetts to overturn a ruling that erased former NFL star Aaron Hernandez's murder conviction in the 2013 killing of a semi-professional football player. Hernandez's conviction in the fatal shooting of Odin Lloyd was voided after the former New England Patriots player killed himself in prison. Under a long-held Massachusetts legal principle, courts erase the convictions of defendants who died before their direct appeals can be heard. Bristol District Attorney Thomas Quinn III filed an appeal with a single justice of Supreme Judicial Court on Friday. He called the rule archaic and said it does not serve the public interest. Moorhead State football coach Rob Tenier is pleased with the Eagles' 2017 recruiting class. According to Tenier, the 32 players who've signed with MSU make up an outstanding group.
I think that we really recruited at a high level for some of our positions. I think we got some guys that'll have an opportunity to come in and be impactful their first year, probably more than the last few years, to be honest with you.
15 of MSU signees are offensive players, with 6 of them being receivers and 5 of them linemen. On the other side of the ball, the Eagles added 8 defensive backs. 9 of the 32 new Eagles are from the state of Kentucky. And finally, this afternoon, Paris is aiming to boost its bid for the 2024 Olympics by turning some of its world-famous landmarks over to sports for 2 days. There will be a 100-meter race on the track floating on the Seine, high diving into the river, cycling around the Arc de Triomphe, and other events to showcase the French capital's suitability for the Games. Parisians were also invited Saturday morning to pedal around the Arc de Triomphe, where the frenetic vehicle traffic will be stopped for 3 hours. Paris is competing against Los Angeles for the 2024 Games. That's it for sports. For Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Sean Delaney.
July 10th through 13th, and an Elite College ID Camp on Sunday, July 16th. Camps are designed to help develop soccer players in all aspects of the game. More information at 783-2589 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mostly higher as energy stocks stemmed this week's earlier sell-off, and the Dow Industrials actually finished with a small loss of 2.53 at 21,394.76. The broader market was stronger with the S&P 500 up 3.8 at 2438.3, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 28.56, finishing at 6265.25. And New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 2-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Energy gained 0.7% to lead advancers and snapped a 4-day losing streak. Energy stocks came under pressure earlier in the week as crude prices fell on oversupply concerns. And today in the crude markets, U.S. oil futures for August delivery gained 0.63% to settle at $43.01 a barrel. This after a decline in the IHS Market U.S. Output Composite Index, hitting a 3-month low, as a matter of fact, and this helped push the dollar lower and also, of course, helped lift crude prices. Healthcare stocks pulled back today as they were down about 0.4%, but the sector still notched a weekly gain of 3.7%. Treasury yields have fallen recently, and the benchmark 10-year yield finished today about 2.15%. In March, this same 10-year Treasury was at 2.6%. And in economic news, new home sales rose 2.9% in May. This was below the expected read of 3.7%. In Europe, markets fell, with the Stoxx 600 index down 0.25%. In Asia, markets were mostly higher, with the Nikkei up 0.1%, and Shanghai up about 0.3%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Visa and Boeing. The worst performers were Home Depot and Goldman Sachs. In the S&P 500, the best performers were EQT and Range Resources, and the worst performers were Bed Bath & Beyond and Cisco. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 59 cents at 67 and a quarter, CSX up 5 cents at 52.65, AK Steel up 35 cents at 6.65, Marathon Petroleum up 31 cents at 51.48, AEP down 24 cents at 71.55, and U.S. Bancorp is down 54 cents to finish at 50.76. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, presenting Fazoli's Freedom Fest on Saturday, July 1st. Music on two stages by The Wooks, Jericho Woods, Bang Bang, and A Midlife Crisis. Gospel showcase featuring Calvary's Song, Focus, Grace Note, The Son's Family, and The Well. Gravity Falls Motorsports Cruise In on Main Street, Kids Activities, and a Thunder Over Triplet Fireworks Show at 9:45 p.m. Activities begin at 4 o'clock p.m. Saturday, July 1st. More information on Facebook under Moorhead Freedom Fest.
Taking a check of your weather forecast tonight, 63 degrees is the low with a near 100% chance of rain. Severe thunderstorms tonight, 2 to 3 inches of rain expected with localized flooding possible. Tomorrow, partly sunny with highs around 83. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, lows dropping to 55 degrees. Sunday, sunny along with a few afternoon clouds, highs at 78. And Sunday night, cloudy from time to time with lows near 54 degrees. Taking a look at your temperatures, it is currently 74 degrees in Ashland, 82 in Flemingsburg, 82 in Inez, 82 degrees in Lexington, 81 in Winchester, and it is currently 82 degrees right here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, and Kyle Blankenbuehler, as well as Chaz Jenkins from the Kentucky News Network, Suzanne Duvall. This is Moorhead State, Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Davidson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.